All right, Jabosai, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Chaf Dalet 124. We're going to pick up on Kuf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis 123b, just three lines up from the bottom. Massive Rabbi Yirmiyah. I left off a little bit earlier than that. Good. We're going to start from there. Master of Yirmiyah. So let's remember again, we're dealing in the middle of Machlokes in Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. So now the Gemara says as follows. Master of Yirmiyah raises a kasha. Tanur Shenitma, Ketzim Metaren also. So it's an interesting case. If you have a tanur, again, an earthenware oven, that became ritually impure. How does one go ahead and purify that? Remember again, the complication over here is that glicheres, earthenware vessels in general, are mekabel tumah, but we generally assume that they cannot become tahor. So if you do have an earthenware oven that became tameh, how are you mekaher? It's actually very interesting. Cholko v'shlosha, you have to divide it up into three parts. They both say, meaning you divide it up into three parts, you break it into three parts. Why three parts? Because remember, again, there are a couple things that's going to be happening over here. Number one is that in order for the utensil to become tahar, it has to lose its designation as a utensil. In order to lose its designation as a utensil, the majority of the utensil cannot remain intact. If you only split it into two, there's always the possibility that what? That the majority of the utensil will remain intact. Therefore, step number one, split it into three parts. Step two, Gores HaTfilo, top of Kuf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph 124a, first line, Ad Shiyehe Baretz, and then go ahead and remove the plaster. Remove the plaster, because above Sayyidin, obviously there's a layer of plaster that holds everything together. So if you look at the last Rashi in Kuf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, the Gores HaTfilo, Shedibek Alov, Shegamhu Mechabarto, Va'afapi Sha'adayin Hu Omeid Tahor. So remember again, so therefore the Gemara says, that in order to go ahead and purify the earthenware oven, which has become tameh, two basic steps. Number one, break it into three parts. Step two, remove all of the plaster until you strip it down to its basic elements. Rabbi Meir says, Eino tzarich lo ligrar es hatfela. So Rabbi Meir says, that's not the case. You actually do not have to go ahead and remove the plaster. Below ad shehei baretz. Ella, so according to Rabbi Meir, how do you go ahead and take away? Remember again, what we're trying to do over here is as follows. This is not unique to an oven, this is in general. When you have a kli which becomes tameh, sometimes the easiest way, quote unquote, well, I shouldn't say easiest way, one of the basic ways in which you can go ahead and remove the tumah is to take away the designation of a kli. If the item no longer functions as a utensil, by definition it loses its tumah. Shabbi Meir says, you don't have to go ahead and start shaving off the plaster. Rather, what do you do, Ella? Menato mi bifnim midalet tfachim. Rather, says Shabbi Meir, all you need to do is diminish the space inside of the oven to less than four tfachim. In Rabbi Meir's view, so the definition of an oven is at least the minimum dimension of an interior space of four tfachim. Diminish that space, it loses its identity as an oven. Once it loses its identity as an oven, ultimately, again, the tumah status goes away as well. So the Gemara says, "Ki memayit lei midalid mihatar." So you're telling me then that when you go and you diminish the interior space from four tefachim, by definition, it becomes tahor. Amai? Why is that? Lema hachalim v'kai. But at the end of the day, as much as you've diminished the interior space, the oven itself is still strong and standing. It's still an oven. The Gemara says, "Amrli Rava, ve'ima midirabanan gor asatvela ad shiyehe baretz." Rather, again, say that according to the view of the Rabbanan, enachinami, you'd have to go ahead and strip away the plaster. Al Amr Rava, hachi kamar. This is what it means to say. So here we go. Tanur shenitma. If you have a tanur, if you have an oven which became tummy, Kate said, "Metaren also." How do you make it tar? So the Gemara says, "Divri hakol cholko l'shlosha." So we'll say everyone agrees that if you have an oven which became ritually impure, the way to go ahead and remove that tumah status, remember again, I want to be clear, this is an earthenware utensil. Because of that, the normal mechanisms of kashering are not available to us, right? If you have a metal oven that becomes tummy, right, there's easier ways to be metaret. This is an earthenware utensil. There is no way to go ahead and affect tara except to take away the status of a kli. So what's the way that it works to go to be metaret in earthenware oven? Step one, cholko l'shlosha, split it up into three pieces. Why three and not two? Because remember again, if it's two, possibilities that the majority of the utensil remains intact. Split it into three. Gares ha-tfila, remove the plaster. Remove the plaster. At shehe baretz. V'harotze, shelo yavo tanur lidei tumah. Is that interesting? And if one wants to ensure that his oven cannot become tame, keitzad hu ose, what do you do? Chol kol v'shlosha, v'gores ha-tfila at shehe baretz. Rabbi Meir omer, eino tzarech lo ligras ha-tfila, v'lo at shehe baretz, ela me'ma'ato mi'bifnim mi'dalir tfach. I'm supposed to say, so fundamental machlokes, ultimately again, how to go ahead and remedy the tumah ultimately of this oven. Amarar, so the Gemara says, chol kol v'shlosha, so you're supposed to split the oven into three pieces, or minhu, Areza kasha, tanor, tchilaso arba, vishiyarav arba, divri Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, interesting idea over here. So Rabbi Meir holds that by definition, the basic height of an oven, actually if you look at Rashi says over here, tanor tchilaso dalid, ein tanor pachos me arba, vafilu nigmra melachto. So Rabbi Meir says, by definition, the minimum definition of an oven is that it has four tfachim of height. That's the definition, dimension of an oven. Tanor tchilas arba, vishiyarav arba. Rashi says, shiyarav arba, im haya gadol v'nitma v'shivro tzarek shalo yehebo shever shal dalet. So that's very interesting. So Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Meir holds as follows. The minimum height of an oven is four tfachim. And ultimately, again, if the oven became tameh, and now you want to break it into pieces, you have to make sure that no one piece measures four tfachim in height. Which makes sense. Meaning, if four tfachim is the minimum height, the definition of a height for an oven, therefore, by definition, order for the oven to lose its identity as a kli, so there can't be a piece that is four tfachim in height. The chum say, when is this so begadol? Only with a large oven. Avapikatan, but if you're dealing with a smaller oven, Tchilaso kol shehu. So we'll say ultimately again the Chachamim say that Allah HaMais, if you're dealing with a small oven, so again small ovens go ahead and measure in varying heights, and therefore again Shiarav Berubo, if the oven became Tamei and you want to break it into pieces, as long as the majority of the oven is not intact, ultimately, you could remedy the tumah of the oven. The kama kolshu, and when the rabbanon say that a small oven could be any amount, what is any amount? Amri debe rabbianai tefach means that an oven can even be a tefach in height. Shekein osim tanurim binos tefach. So we'll say, interestingly enough, they used to make kids' ovens. This clearly went out of practice for very good reasons, right? Right? They used to make kids' ovens. So if you made a kids' ovens, benos tefach, you know, it's like a kitchen set, you know, but these were real, right? So they used to make kids' ovens that measured a tefach. Taima di'ika shiyarav dalid. So the reason, ultimately, again, that the oven would retain its tumas, because there's part of the shirayim, there's part of one of the pieces that retains the height of dal tefachim. Halakha shiur of dalit tar. But again, what you see from here is that halacha lemaisa, if there was not a piece of the oven that retained a height of dalit tfachim, ultimately the oven would be tar. Amri hasam, to which the Gemara says, so how does that stem with what we said before? To which the Gemara says, two different cases. Amri hasam, ditzalke mitzlach, hacha digavde gistra. But say, everything depends on how you're going ahead and cracking or breaking the oven. The first case was talking about a situation where you're cracking the oven horizontally, and this is talking about where you're cracking the oven vertically. Amar Mar, Shiarev Berubo, Rubo de Tefach Lamai Habi. I think they changed it to the Gemara, changed it to Lamai Chazi. Changed to Lamai Chazi. So ultimately it says the Gemara. So you're telling me now that if the Shiraim is a Tefach or more, ultimately again the oven retains its identity. But what does the piece of an oven, the size of a tefach, what could it possibly do? Amar Abaye, shiyare gadol berubo, to which the Gemara says, what it means to say is as follows, that if you have a large oven, so by definition, again, a shirayim, If one of the pieces represents the majority of the oven, that's when it retains its identity. V'hami Rabbanan Arba, but the Rabbanan said that it's dealing with four tefachim in height. Lokashia, it's not a contradiction. Habitanura bar tisha, habitanura bar shiva. Both say everything depends on the size of the oven that we are talking about. Lishna achrina, another possibility is amrila amrafuna mishum rabbi shma rabbi yosi, vafilu shirba kedei mapara. So we'll say, so now this is going back. So, okay, we'll say that ends the oven discussion. So first of all, again, just for our takeaway purposes, the halacha over here is actually a very important one. And it's a concept that applies not just by ovens, but as you said before, by all kelim. I shouldn't say all kelim, by many kelim, which is that if you have a kli that becomes tamei and cannot be kashered by conventional means, the paradigmatic example of this is a kli cheres, an earthenware utensil. So the way you kasher the utensil is by removing its identity as a kli. So for example, very often when you're using utensils, let's say you have a bowl, an earthenware utensil. So we've spoken about this concept, if you bore a hole in it, right, so that it can no longer serve as a receptacle to retain something, it loses its identity as a kli. And therefore, when you repair it, it becomes something new. Over here, the oven, essentially, again, as long as it no longer functions as an oven, it can no longer function as an oven, that takes away the tumah, and then subsequently you could rebuild it, and you're rebuilding a clean atar state. The machlokis that we're dealing with over here is essentially how small do the pieces have to be in order for it not to function as an oven at all. And one of the interesting takeaways is you see that apparently even if you have a piece that's a tefach, that could still function in some way as an oven. So you'd really have to break down this oven to very small pieces. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, Lishna achrina, another possibility, going back to our original discussion on Amud Beis yesterday, Amrila Amarafuna Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yosi Vafilu Shir Ba Kedei Ma'aforas. We'll say now the Gemara is going back and speaking about Halacha Lamaisa. If you happen to have a piece of leather, right, a piece of leather, a piece of hide, so what's the minimum amount which could be Makabel Tumah? So the Gemara says, quoting over Rafuna's name, Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yosi, even if you left over enough of a piece of leather to make a handkerchief. Right, the handkerchief, that's enough ultimately again for the leather to be Makabel Tumah. Amrei Shlakish, Lo Shano El Atalis. This is only true ultimately when talking about a piece of fabric. Aval Ar, but if you're mamish talking about Ar leather, so the Gemara says Chashiv, then ultimately again, even a smaller amount could be Chashiv Likirashi. Aval Ar, Kiyashur, I'm sorry, if you have an Ar, if you have a piece of leather that's ultimately suitable to be used for a handkerchief, Chashiv, below bottle. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan will say, Afilu Ar Nami Lo Chashiv. Rabbi Yochanan will say, no, even leather in such small amount will not be important. Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Yochanan is Chash Reish Lakish or Tamei Medris. We'll say, if you have a piece of leather that is contracted, Tumas Medris. Chishev Alav L'Ritzua. So if you had in mind to go ahead and make it into, Ritzuas are literally like a strap, or sandalin, or shoes, kevan shenasan ba izemel tar. Once you go ahead and you put the izemel we'll say is like is an awl, right? Once you go ahead and you put the awl into it to fashion it, ultimately tar, it loses its identity, or I should say, it loses its identity as a stam piece of leather, being that it's reworked and being refashioned into something else. Therefore, it becomes tar. Dev Rabbi Yehuda, these words Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chamam say, Ad shiyam itenu mihamisha tvachim. Chachamim say you have to diminish the piece of leather to less than 5 tvachim. Less than 5 tvachim and loses its identity and therefore again loses its tumah status. I kimemait mihatar. So you're telling me then when you diminish it, less than 5 tvachim it becomes tar. But why is that? Amai lema chashiv. To which the Gemara said, but why don't we say that even such a small amount, ultimately, we just said before that leather, even in a smaller amount, could become chashiv in that bottle. Hakam asking, what's the case here? Dikabai le lemoshav zav. We'll say, what's the case here? The case over here is where you were going to use this. Look at Rashi, lemoshav zav. Ubebatsya mehachi lo chazi lemilsei. Ultimately, you're going to make this as the seat cushion or as the seat for a zav, and smaller than this amount cannot be used. Therefore, once you diminish it, it loses its identity as a kli, and therefore, or potential as a kli, and therefore becomes tar. Good. We'll say we now begin new Mishnah. Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph 124a, third wide line in. Says the Mishnah. Here we go. Or sheyesh alav kezayis basas. We'll say this is referencing one of the previous mishnayos that we had earlier, a little bit of a continuation. You have a piece of hide, and on the hide is a kezayis of basar, a kezayis of animal flesh. Well, so remember over here, just to contextualize, we're focusing here on tumas nevela. Right, that's what's happening over here, tumas nevela. So you have a piece of hide that has on it a kezayis of flesh, of meat. So what's the halacha? Hanogeya bitziv hayot semimenu, ubisara shekineg dotami. First halacha in the Mishnah is if you touch, so there are two cases over here. So remember again, that kezayis of nevela meat is sitting on top of the hide. So what does the Mishnah teach me? If let's say there's a strand of meat that extends up from the kezayis, and I touch that strand, or I touch the other side, not the meat, the hide side, and there's a piece of hair from the hide that is sticking up directly opposite the meat, and I touch that, I have contracted tumas nevela. I become tamei. Look at Rashi. Or sheyesh alav kezayis basar b'makom echad. So we're going to see why this is important. The case over here is where the kezayis is concentrated in one place. Hanogea b'tsev hayotzi emenu haynu me'osa basar. Or b'sarash shekeneged osa basar. So I'm either touching a strand of the meat or touching a hair opposite the meat on the hide side of the animal. Tame. Ultimately, again, I am tame. That's halacha number one. Next, hayu alav kishne chatzai zeisim. But isn't this interesting case? Let's say on the same piece of hide, I have two pieces of meat, each one measuring a half a kizayis. So what's the halacha, Rabosai? So now, mitame b'masa v'lo b'magav divrei Rabbi Shmo. Rabbi Shmo says something very interesting. If I carry the hide, I contract tumas masa, which is tuma that you contract from carrying something tuma, even if you're not coming in direct contact with the tuma, but not tumas masa. Excuse me, but not tumas maga. So we'll say in Rabbi Shmuel's view, if I carry the hide with the two half a kizaisim, can you remember again, this is one piece of hide, a half a kizais of meat over here, a half a kizais of meat over here, on the same piece of hide. I carry the hide. Rabbi Shmuel says, I'm tuma for carrying the hide, but if I were to touch the half a kizayis of meat, I would not contract tumah. Or for that matter, touch the hide, I would not contract tumah. These are the words of Rabbi Shmuel. I will say, as we're going to see in the Gemara, because Rabbi Shmuel holds, interestingly enough, that the hide is actually mevatel the basar. We'll see this inside. Rabbi Akiva says, lo b'maga, lo b'masa. Oh, I'm sorry. Scratch that. That's Rabbi Akiva Shita. Rabbi Akiva holds a both sides that in this case, we have a half a kizayis of meat, half a kizayis of meat on the same hide. There's no tumas nevela. There's no tumas nevela, and therefore, if you touch it, if you carry it, it doesn't make a difference. You are not tamei. Rabbi Akiva's logic we already know, which is that halacha lemaisa, a half a kizayis of meat, or for that matter, two half kizayis of meat, are both batal to the hide. Both batal to the hide. So the Gemara says as follows: Umod Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva will agree. B'shnei chatzoi zesim. This is actually very interesting. They will say, if you have two half kizesim of nevela meat, get ready for this, shetachvan b'kisein v'hesitan. Well, so listen, imagine this case. You have a half a kizais of nevela, half a kizais of nevela, and what do? You put a toothpick, right, through them both. So now what happens? Rabbi Kiva will agree in that case, v'hesitan, and I lift up the toothpick, now what's talocha? Shutameh. We'll say that in that case, ultimately, again, I will be tamei. Rashi says over here, Umod Rabbi Akiva da'af agav delo havi kizayis mu'ura b'makom echad, even though in this case, it's not a kizayis of nevela meat together. So the Gemara says, delav or chibur shamei shnei chatzai zeis v'yachad tamei. So Rabbi Akiva will agree in that case, ultimately, that you will be tamei. Umipnei ma Rabbi Akiva matar bar. So we'll say, why is it then that in the case where you have two half kizaisim of the nevela meat, right, on a piece of hide, one half kizayis here, one half a kizayis here, but they're sitting on the same piece of hide. Why does Rabbi Akiva hold that if you lift up that hide, that Allah might say, you're not tame, mago or masa, very simply, mipnei, sha'ar mevatlan. Because we'll say in Rabbi Akiva's view, the hide is mevatel, a half a kizayis of meat, right? And even though I have two half kizayisim, each half kizayis is looked at independently, and each half kizayis is baltotar. But remember again, very important fact, a hide does not contract tumas nevela. Right? This is very important. The hide, when not attached to the animal, does not contract tumas nevela. Good. So let's see, here we go. Amr Ula Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Gemara is going to first focus on the first statement of the Mishnah. Remember again, what was case number one in the Mishnah? Case number one in the Mishnah was that Allah says if you have a hide of nevela meat, right, a hide, and there is a kizayis of nevela basar on that hide, if you touch what? Either a strand of the meat that is extending outwards, or the hair of the hide opposite the meat, you are tamei. That's halacha number one. Let's analyze this. Amar Ula, Ula says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Lo shanu ela paltaso chaya. They both say, this is only true where, if the case that we're talking about over here is where an animal was attacked by another animal, right? And the victim had a bite of its flesh taken out of it. And now what happens? That animal dies. I have that piece of hide with the kizayis of the meat on it. That's when that kizayis of meat ultimately conveys tumah. Aval paltaso sakin. But Rabbi say, if halacha lamaisa, the animal died, and I'm flaying the animal, and some of the meat comes off as I'm flaying the hide, then what? Bottle. Rabbi say, this, we've seen this distinction many, many, many times already, which is that halacha lamaisa, when flaying an animal, even, it is inevitable that what? Some meat comes off with the hide. That meat is generally considered to be insignificant and unimportant. So if you end up having a kizayis of meat that comes off with the hide, that meat is bottle to the hide. When do we say that there's a kizayis of meat on the hide? That halacha lemaisa, again, it conveys to mas nevela. That's when one animal bit another animal, bit a chunk out of the animal. Obviously, that piece of hide and flesh is still attached to the animal. Now the animal dies as a nevela. I take off that piece of hide. That's when that meat ultimately is considered to be chashav and can convey tumah. Look at Rashi, lo shanu. The kizayis shalim divrei akol lo bata ela paltas el chaya. So Amar le Rav Nachman li Ula. So let's analyze this. Rav Nachman said to Ula, Amar Rav Yochanan, vafilo kitarta. Nebo say, so this is actually very interesting. Are you telling me then that whenever flesh comes off with the knife. So what you're telling me now essentially is whenever you flay the hide, is that the right word?
Yep.
Flay the hide, right? So that essentially whatever meat, whatever flesh comes off with the flaying is bottled to the hide. So is that true? Even if a significant amount of flesh comes off with that, kitar terabosai is a large measure. So you're telling me now that even if a large measure of meat comes off with the flaying of the hide, that ultimately is going to be bottled to the hide. Samarly in, he said, yes, that is in fact the case. Vafilu kinafya, so I'll say these are just larger numbers. Even a kinafya amount, in other words, you're telling me that even if a huge amount of meat gets separated along with the hide, that meat is bottled to the hide and therefore is not metame tumas nadela. Amarly in. So also remember again, this is Rav Nachman speaking to Ula. And Ula saying, yes, it really doesn't matter how much meat gets separated with the hide. The meat will be bottled to the hide. So Amrle, so let's listen to this. So Rav Nachman says to Ula, Ha'alokim, im amar li Rabbi Yochanan mipumei, lo tzai sinalei. Even if Rabbi Yochanan himself would say this to me, I would not pay any attention to it. So this is Rav Nachman almost saying to Ula, I can't believe that this is true. Meaning there's got to be a certain point in time where there's so much meat attached to the hide that it cannot be bottled to the hide. So listen to this. Kisalek Raboshia, Ashkechel Rabbi Ami. So let's listen to this case. So Raboshia went and he found Rabbi Ami. So Amra Lishmaite Kame. So he said over this halacha in front of Rabbi Ami. So the Gemara says, Amra Ula, Vahachi Ahadrali Rav Nachman. So he said to him, because Rav Nachman is a son-in-law, ultimately, again, to the Nasi, he's able to be mezalzel, he could go ahead and degrade the teachings of Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, just because Rav Nachman doesn't agree with it, doesn't give him the right to go ahead and disparage the teachings of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan held that, in fact, halacha is Rabbi said that any meat that becomes detached or that becomes attached to the hide as a result of the flaying of the hide is batal. And yes, even if it's a large amount of meat, that meat is batal. Zimnin ashkechei diyasevik amrali asefa. So it was a different time. They attributed this teaching to the end of the Mishnah. Hayu alav shnei chatzoi zeisim. If there was a, if remember again, this is the second part of the Mishnah. If there are two half kizayises, two half kizayisim attached to the hide, mitamin b'masa v'lo b'magav div Rabbi Shmo. So what Rabbi Shmo holds that it's mitame b'masa and not b'magav. Rabbi Akiva omer lo b'magav lo b'masa, and Rabbi Akiva said it's not tame at all. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, so we'll say now is a different version. So now remember again, Ula made the statement. Ula attributed the statement of Rabbi Yochanan to the first part of the Mishnah, namely that halacha lemaisa. Right, patas achayo. Now Rabbi Yochanan, so we're going ahead and attributing or attaching the statement of Rabbi Yochanan to the seifa. Amr Rabbi Yochanan lo shanu ela patas achayo. When do we say ultimately again that this is true? Only when the flesh was separated through a bite. Let me say it differently. What are we talking about? Where one animal was attacked by another, and the predatory animal took a bite out of the victim, and as a result separated some of the flesh together with the hide. Aval patoso sakin, batal. But halacha lemaisa, if the hide was being detached with a knife, even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that what? That even if you have two half kizesim, those two half kizesim are batal to the hide. Amr lei mar asefa masnilo. So he says, are you attributing this statement to Rabbi Yochanan to the seifa? Amr lei in. He said, yes. I ve'ela ula areisha amra. I, but ula attributed the statement of Rabbi Yochanan to the reisha. But say not to the case of two half kizayim, but rather again to the case of one kizayis on the hide. So the Gemara says, Amr lei in. Ve'ela ula areisha amra nilachu. Amr lei in. He said, yes. Amr lei elokim. I Amr li Yoshua ben Nun mishmei lo tzai sinalei. Even if Yoshua ben Nun would have said this to me in his own name, right, I would not pay attention to this ruling. So ki asa Rabin v'chol nechusei Amra areisha. So let's say when Rabin and all of the other rabbanim who came from Baal Teretz Yisrael was saying over this halacha, they attributed Rabbi Yochanan's statement to the Reisha. Namely, Rabbi said that when we're speaking about this idea of Rabbi Yochanan, namely, that paltaso chaya and not paltaso sakin, is Dafka talking about the first case of the Mishnah, where there is a kizayis of flesh on the hide, not the seifa of two calf kizayisim. I ve'ela kashya. But what about, again, the question we raised, Rabbi Yochanan? Remember, the question we raised is that, remember, a very simple idea. If you understand Rabbi Yochanan's distinction as focusing on the Reisha, then Rabbi Yochanan, what does that mean? Then Rabbi Yochanan is saying, the first case of the Mishnah was what, Rabbi Yochanan? I have a piece of hide that has a kizayis of basar on it. What did the Mishnah paskin? Right, if you're, in the Reisha, if I have a kizayis of meat on the hide, it's tame, right? It's tame. Whether I touch a strand of the meat or I touch a hair on the back. Ula came along and said, Rabbi Yochanan qualified this case to dafka be talking about what type of situation? Paltaso chaya, right? We're talking about that kizayis is on the flesh because of an animal bite. But if I was flaying the hide and basar came off with the hide, then what? That basar is bottled to the hide. They're both saying, now the logical extension of that in Rabbi Yochanan's view is that it doesn't make, there's no shear. As much meat as comes separated off the hide, as comes separated with the hide, is bottle to the hide. The Gemara has difficulty, I should say Rabbi Nachman has difficulty wrapping his head around that, because what you're telling me then is, really, no matter how much meat gets separated with the hide, it's bottled to the hide. Is that true? So even if you have an enormous amount of meat, let's say you have a sloppy flayer. It happens. You meet guys like this, right? Sloppy flayers. Right? Where they're going ahead and there's a whole bunch of meat coming off. So you're telling me then all of that is bottled to the hide? So we'll say, so Ula will say, yes. Rabbi Nachman has difficulty with this. Ela kasha. So what about this kasha that Rabbi Yochanan raised? That Rabbi Nachman raised. That even if an incredible amount of meat becomes separated with the hide, that it's still going to become batal. Kedam Rapapa, as Rapapa said, we'll say, what's the case? Be merudad. So we'll say, what is the case we're talking about? Merudad. Look at Rashi. Merudad. Dak v'kalosh v'aruch v'rachav. D'chi mitzaref eslei havi kizayis. Mihu lo tarech inish u'mitzaref lei. Umil patasa chaya. Dilat iu batle lo batas. We'll say, what are we talking about over here in the Mishnah? What's the Mishnah's case about, say, where halacha lemaisa, if there's a kizayis of basar, that is going to be batal? He's talking about where the kizayis is thinly spread over the hide. If the kezias of meat is thinly spread over the hide, it's dispersed, not spread, meaning no one is actively spreading it, it's just the way it came off, it will say something like that will be totally not chashiv. But so again, if it's thinly spread over the hide, then that by definition is what is chashiv. But that's only in the case of paltaso sakin, where I'm separating it myself. In the case of paltaso chaya, then halacha lemaisa, again, that will not be bottled to the hide, and that amount ultimately, again, could retain the status of meat. Good. So we'll say that to the Gemara's understanding the Reisha, where ultimately, again, it is a situation where the piece of meat or the meat is thinly spread. Therefore, paltaso sakin, it will be bottled. Paltaso chaya, it will not be bottled. Good. Hayu alav. We'll say next case, the Mishnah. What's the hayu alav? So we'll say this is number two. Hayu alav kishnei chatzai zesim. We'll say it's the case number two in the Mishnah is where what? Where Allah says I have two half kizesim on the hide. Two half kizesim on the hide. So what's the halach machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? Right? So Rabbi Shmuel says matame b'maga not b'masa. Rabbi Akiva says no tuma at all. No tumah at all, because halach lemaisa, again, it's bottled to the hide. So says the Gemara, hayu alav, amar bar pada loshan ela miachorav. So bar pada says, look at Rashi's moment, loshanu, Rabbi Shmuel, when does Rabbi Shmuel say that your tumah b'maga not b'masa? That's only if what? That's only if you're carrying the hide from the hide side. Right? With his nose, I'm not touching the shnei kizesim, I'm touching the hide side. That's when you'll be chayiv, or that's when you become tamei through maga, not through masa. Ava ami lefanov, but if einach kinami, you're touching the front of the hide, which means you're touching the inside, right? The flesh side. So you're coming in contact with the two kizesim, the two half kizesim. Then einach kinami yesh nogea, v'chozev v'nogea. So we'll say, so this is actually very interesting. In the Gemara suggesting, Bar Pada suggesting, according to Rabbi Shmuel, if you were to touch the two half kizesim at once. So what will be the halacha? The halacha will be you'll be chayiv. You'll be chayiv. What's he hear this? That if you were to go ahead and touch two half kizesim simultaneously, you would be chayiv. That would be Rabbi Yochanan say the concept of nogea, v'chozer v'nogea. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan says no. Ain't nogea, v'chozer v'nogea. Rabbi Yochanan will say no. Halacha l'maisa. Rabbi Yochanan say nogea, v'chozer v'nogea means just because you touch two half kizesim simultaneously. So we'll say that's very interesting. The shayla, you know, here what the shayla is. Do we say that touching two half kizesim simultaneously is the equivalent of touching one kizayis at once? The Gemara is suggesting, or Bar Pada suggesting, that aloch is yes. Yesh nogea v'chozer v'nogea. Rabbi Yochanan says no. In order to be chayiv ultimately for magov nevela, you have to be able to touch one kizayis at once. Touching two half kizesim at once is not the equivalent. But as Rabbi Yochanan tameh. And Rabbi Yochanan goes according to his reasoning. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, Amru Davar Echad. So Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus said the same thing. Rabbi Shmuel had Amr. So also Rabbi Shmuel, as we just said before, that if you have two kizesim on a piece of hide, then halacha lemaisa you're tamei tumas, you could be tamei tumas masa, but not tumas maga. Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus disnan. Here we go. Kalamit tamin ba'ohel. We'll say any time you have ultimately, again, people, any common time, which means we'll say anything which can convey tumas ohel, right? Tumas ohel means that if I'm under the same roof as it, I can contract tumah from it. So anything which can convey tumas ohel. Shenech leku v'echnisan l'soch habayis. So we'll say, imagine for a moment that you went ahead and what? You divided up this tameh item and you brought it into the house piecemeal. So we'll say what's happening over here is as follows. I have an item which can convey tumas ohel. But what do? I cut it up into smaller pieces. Each of those pieces by themselves do not have the capacity to be metame tumas ohel. I bring in the pieces one by one, and now what? They are now effectively all under the same roof. So we'll say, so what's the shayla? Can the now divided pieces combine to convey tumas ohel? Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus metar. Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus says, no, since they're in pieces, they do not combine under the same roof. The Chachamim mitamim, and the Chachamim say, ultimately, no, they can become tam. In other words, the pieces can combine underneath the same roof to convey Tumas Ohel. In which the Gemara says, "Lav Amar Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus Hasam Ein Mahiel V'Chozer Umahiel." So Moshe Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus says what? That Halacha LaMaisa, you can't go ahead and say, right, there's Tumas Oel for this and Tumas Oel for this. In other words, the pieces cannot combine to form Tumas Oel. Hachanami Ein Nogea V'Chozer V'Nogea. So we'll say the same Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus would be the same Rabbi Shmuel would say what? You can't touch half a kizayis here and a half a kizayis here, and ultimately they form the requisite shear for the masmago. Umid Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus Rabbi Shmuel, and it was the fact that Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus holds like Rabbi Shmuel, therefore what? Rabbanon k'Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi say if you're aligning these machloksim, then it would appear that the Rabbanon hold like Rabbi Akiva. But one second, Rabbi Kiva and our Mishnah, Rabbi say paskins how? Bar Rabbi Akiva Tahori Kametayer. Vosir Rabbi Kiva in our Mishnah says that what? If you have a piece of hide with two half kizesim on it, Vosir, what did Rabbi Shmuel say? What did Rabbi Akiva say? Rabbi Akiva said, you're totally tar. Remember again, Rabbi Shmuel was the one who said, you're Tame Tumas Masa and not Tumas Maga. Rabbi Akiva said, you are Tahor altogether. Altogether. Halacha L'maisin. And Rabbi Akiva's logic was because the two half kizesim are bottled to the hide. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Akiva, Tar Kametar." Adkan. So here we go. Adkan lo matar Rabbi Akiva ela ba'ar. I will say the reason Rabbi Akiva holds that Allah l'maisa, if you have two af kizesim on a piece of hide, that your tar from tumas maga and tumas masa is for a very simple reason, which is because the meat is bottled to the ar. We'll say that is a concept ultimately by hide. However, ba'alma mitane, but inachinami rabosei could very well be that by other forms of tumah, Rabbi Akiva in fact holds that what that halacha lamaisa they can combine together ultimately for tumah purposes. Kidik tani seifa, umod Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva would agree in what case the beis chatzoi zesim shetachvan bikisim that ultimately what about say if you have the following situation. If you have a situation of two half kizesim, which Ratzavos say, are combined by a toothpick, right? You have a toothpick, you put a toothpick into two, you have a lot of free time on your hands, right? You put a toothpick into two half kizesim of nevela, that's what, this sitan, and you carry the toothpick, right? You carry the toothpick, shutame, ultimately again, you can be done. So I'll say, so what do you see from here? You see, we thought that originally maybe Rabbi Akiva's shita is that what? Two half kizesim can't combine. In fact, that might not be the case. Rabbi Akiva's shita by the two af kizesim on a hide has nothing to do with the ability or inability of tumah to combine. What does it have to do with?
Hide.
This is a din in a hide. Rabbi Akiva will say that in general, when you have meat on a hide, that meat is bottled to the hide itself. Or I should say, less than a kizayis of meat is bottled to the hide. Baharaya, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that if you take two af kizesim, put a toothpick in there, lift up the toothpick, you are chayim ultimately again for masa of a tummy item. So you see that two afkizesim can combine. Shutame umifne ma Rabbi Akiva matar ba'or. So why is it Rabbi Akiva's matar in the case of the two afkizesim on the hide? Very simple. Mipne sha'ar mevatlon. Ultimately again, because the hide is mevatl, the two afkizesim. Good. Masi ravukva. So vokreis the kasha. Masi ravukva bar chama. Beniv lasam. So we'll say the pasuk over here says v'chol holik al kapav v'chol lechaya olechas al arbot meim heim lochem kolanogia beniv lasam yitma ad ha'aret. So beniv lasam. So we'll say this is tumas nevela. So what do I learn from there? V'lo ba'ar sheyesh alav. V'lo ba'ar sheyesh alav beis chatzai zesim. So we'll say, so the pasuk teaches me I'm only chayiv if I touch the nevela itself. But if I have a piece of hide that has on it two half kizesim, ultimately, again, I will not be chayiv yochol af b'masa. So we'll say, so that teaches me that what? That if I simultaneously touch two half kizesim, I am not chayiv for that. I'm not chayiv tumas mago. I might have thought also tumas masa. What if I lift it up and carry it all together? Talmud Lomar. So we'll say Rabbi Shmuel says it's true. You will not be chayiv from Agar. So this is actually very interesting. Say if you simultaneously touch two af kizesim, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Shmuel will agree that what? that you're not chayev for that. But what about tumas masa? What about the act of carrying the hide with the two afkezesim on it? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva Omer Hanuk, I might have to show you Patra even for carrying it. Talmud Lomar, Vahanose Yitma Div Rabbi Shmuel. So also Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that Aloha Lamaisa, if you carry a piece of hide with two half kizesim on it, what's the halacha? You will be chayy for that. For Masa, Rabbi Kiva says no. Hanogea Vahanose. Rabbi Kiva will say, Halacha Lamaisa, you will be pater both for Maga and for Masa. Why? Listen to this formula, Rabbosai. As Sheba Lichlal Maga, Ba Lichlal Masa. Lo Ba Lichlal Maga, Lo Ba Lichlal Masa. So what's Rabbi Kiva has a very simple principle. What's his principle? If Halacha Lamaisa, you could become Tame through Maga, then that allows that same thing to become Tame through Masa. If you can't become Tamei through Maga, then ultimately, again, there is no Tumas Masa. So Rabbi Akiva will say we're all in agreement that the two Afkezesim cannot become Tamei through Tumas Maga. Rabbi will say that it appears not everyone is in agreement with. Even if you simultaneously touch the two Afkezesim at once, you cannot become Tamei Tumas Maga. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva will say if you can't become Tamei Tumas Maga, you also cannot become Tamei through Tumas Masa. Vimisa. If you accept this premise, Hare Balach La Maga Milafanov. But one second, ultimately again, it can become Tumas Maga or Hare Bosei. So the Gemara says, but one second, what about if you were to touch the two half kizesim themselves? Would that not give you Tumas Maga? Amarava, Rava says, this is what it means to say, Achi Kamar, Es Shabalach La Maga Bichol Tzad. Anything that can become, Sir Bosei, remember again, if you hold Chozer Vinogea, right? Nogea V'Chozer Vinogea, if you hold of that idea, then Inachinam, you can become Tamei Tumas Maga. So you're both saying, there is a school of thought that says that if you simultaneously touch two Afkizesim, that is the equivalent of what? Of what? Of touching one Kizayas. So if you hold of that, then this could be a case of Maga that comes to Mas. Rather, what the Gemara means to say is like this. Es Shebalach La Maga B'Chot Sad, Balach La Masa. I will say, if you have a case where halacha lemaisa, you could become tamei tumas maga from any direction, then you could become tamei tumas masa. However, lo balach la maga bechol tzad. But if halacha lemaisa, again, what you cannot become tamei tumas maga on from every side, then you cannot become tamei tumas masa. Boy, minei Rav Avya Saba me Rabba bar Rav Huna. Suppose a new case. So first of all, just so you know, so fundamental machlok is in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So ultimately, again, who do we paskin like? The Rambam paskin is like Rabbi Akiva in this case. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, if you have a piece of hide with two F kizesim on it, halacha lemaisa, it is not tamei tumas maga, nor is it tamei tumas masa. But I will say, interestingly enough, this is not really a din in Tumantara. That's very interesting. This is a din in what? A din in what? A din in hide. I will say, so in other words, we passing like Rabbi Akiva, that any time you have less than a kizayis of flesh on the hide of an animal, ultimately, again, the basar will be battle to the hide. And therefore, again, there's no tumas maga, there's no tumas masa with less than a kizayis of flesh. I'm sorry. Toothpick is a different case. That's different. That's different. Everyone remember, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that if the toothpick attaches the two half kizesim, you will be chayav for that. But that's not a case on flesh.
But why is your own flesh that is touching the two halves not acting like a toothpick? Okay, not the hide. The hide isn't.
Because it's bottled to the hide.
Oh, one glass of
flesh. It's bottled to the hide. That's the.
So what's the toothpick got to the flesh that your flesh doesn't have?
It's not on the hide. It's not on the hide. Right, remember again, I'm sorry, let me clarify this. Right, the cases 2 and 3 in the Mishnah are different cases. In case 2, the two afkizesim are attached to the hide. Rambam Paskin is like Rabbi Akiva, that when you have less than a kizayis attached to the hide, it is bottled to the hide. So we're done. Conversation is over. No maga, no masa, because it's not considered flesh, it's considered hide. Case number 3 in the Mishnah is where you have two afkizesim Not attached to hide. You've got your little toothpick bridge over there. Right when you have your toothpick bridge, everyone will agree that what? That ultimately, again, that toothpick does combine the two afkizesim, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, when you go ahead and you pick that up, then what? Then it is the equivalent of you lifting up a kizayis of nevela. Now, again, remember, therefore, you'll be tummy how? What's the type of tumma? Tumas masa. It's not tumas maga, because remember, again, I'm not touching the meat. I'm touching ultimately again the toothpick, which is holding up the two. But I'll be tummy tumas masa. But again, that's the case where it is not attached to the hide at all. And I will say, come to another incredible case. By the name of Avia Savia Meirava. Listen to this new case. Meirava Barafuna. Kulius stumula rishlam ausha titma. Listen to this interesting case. You have a bone that has marrow inside of it. And I will say, so there's no flesh on the bone, but there's edible marrow on the inside. So the shayla over here is, what's the status al tumas nevela for this? So here we go. So the Gemara says, so kulias stumula rishma mausha titma. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, ultimately again, will this closed in marrow go ahead and convey tuma in accordance with Rabbi Shmuel? So what do we say? So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Shmuel said, is the Rabbi Shmuel es shabalach la maga balach la maso? So does Rabbi Shmuel hold to the hold of the principle that whatever ultimately again could become tummy through tumas maga becomes tummy through tumas maso? Conversely, lo balach la maga, lo balach la masa. Conversely, if it can't become tummy tumas maga, it can't become tummy tumas masa. And therefore, vahacha haynu taima mishum de balach la maga milafanav. So we'll say ultimately again. Therefore, in the case of the two half kizesim, the reason Rabbi Shmuel held that halacha lemaisa it could become tummy tumas masa is why? Because technically, if you touch, remember, if Rabbi Shmuel subscribes to the idea of nogea v'chozer v'nogea, then what? You could touch the two afkizesim simultaneously. You become tamei tumas maga because you could technically become tamei tumas maga. Therefore, what? You could become tamei tumas masa according to Rabbi Shmuel as well. Odilma, but I will say in the case of the marrow, where halacha lemaisa again, that's not true. Maybe he would say you're tar. Odilma, lastly, or maybe Rabbi Shmuel does not hold of this principle. So we'll say this. Remember, I just want to be clear. Rav Avia Saba is asking this from Rabba Barav Huna. Rabba Barav Huna's response, we'll say this is wild. Amrlei, Urva Parach. Rabba Barav Huna says, wow, look at that raven flying by. So what's happening over here? So Rabba deflects the question, right? So Amrlei Rava Berei. So Rabba Barav Huna's son says to him, Rabbi, his father, V'lav hainu Rav Avya Sama in Pompadisa, de Meshabach lan mar begave de gaba rabu. Father, why did you deflect his question? Right? This is Rabbi Barav Huna, who you yourself have said is such a great Talmud Chacham. Amarle ani hayom samchuni ba'ashishus. So essentially, it was actually very interesting. Rabbi Barav Huna said, today, I'm depleted, right? I can't answer the question. Samchuni ba'ashishus literally means support me with flasks of wine. So essentially says, today I'm a bit exhausted, a bit overwhelmed, and I don't have the Yishuv Hadas to be able to answer this question. It will say, why was he so tired? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Samchuni ba'ashishus. Kilomar, tzrichani chizuk lefi shesar kochi mikoach hadrasha shedarashti hayom berabim de shabbos haregel haisa. So apparently, we'll say he had just come from giving his shir. This was the Shabbos before Yom Tov, or the Shabbos of Yom Tov, where he had just finished giving a very long shir. He was too tired to answer the kasha. So because he was too tired, what did he say? Oh, beautiful raven. Look at that raven flying by. So which was almost, I guess, code for, I don't have the koach for you right now. Right? Come back to me a different day. The shayla is a good shayla, but ultimately, again, I don't have the koach to answer it today. Amr Ula. So Ula comes along and says as follows. Shnei chatzai zesim. So the marrow case, by the way, actually, the marrow case is going to be a Mishnah that we're going to see. The marrow case also is a fascinating case. Why? Because you have edible food item that is inside, that is closed off. So the shayla as to what that status of that food item is going to be, we're going to get, don't worry. We are going to give the marrow its due time. So we'll say the sugya ends off. Amr Ula, Shnei Chatzai Zesim. Shetach van bikisim. Listen to this case. So we'll say this is the case of the Mishnah. I have 2 half kizesim of meat and of nevela that I put onto a toothpick. Afilu molech umevi kolayam kula. We'll say first wide line kuf chaf dalam a days. Even if you carry them the whole day, tahar. Wow. So Yatar will say, so this is not like the Mishnah. So Yatar, my time, but what's the reason? It will say, because the pasuk over here is talking about carrying an avela. Vahanoseyes nivlasam yichabis begadav. So it will say, the way the word is written in the Torah is nun samich aleph. So v'nisa, the way it looks like is it's v'nisa, v'karinan nosei. So we'll say, so the way the word could be vocalized is nisa, but it's read as nosei. What does that mean? Ba'inan nosei, v'hu d'nisa be'bas achos. Then I will say, ultimately, again, in order to become tamei tumas nevela, it has to be the type of meat which ultimately, again, nosei can be carried at once. Which I will say something amazing, which is in order to convey tumas nevela, you have to have a piece of meat that could be picked up in one unit. This case over here of 2 half kizesim, right, that are held together by a toothpick, we'll say ultimately again, if you take away the toothpick, what happens? What happens? Ultimately again, it's 2 pieces, it's not one unit. So because it's not one unit, therefore it cannot convey tumas nevela. So the Gemara says that this is this particular opinion. Udinisa basachos, tnan, hayu alof shnei chatzai zeisim etamin b'masa, v'lo b'mago, divra bishmo. So we'll say, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said if you have a piece of hide, and the piece of hide has 2 half kizesim on it, so bishmo paskin, that it can become tamei tumas masa v'nat tumas mago. But amai, why is that? V'ha lov nisahu. Now we'll say, based on the structure of nisa, what are we saying? That Nisa Nose teaches me that in order for Nevela to be Metame Tumas Masa, we'll say what has to happen? You have to be able to pick up the piece of Nevela meat in one unit. If it cannot be lifted up in one unit, then it does not convey Tumas Nevela. In this case over here, you have 2 half kizesim sitting on a piece of hide. If you were to remove the hide, those 2 half kizesim are not connected. Rapapa says, no, what's the case? Bimerudad. In Achinar Bosa, the case of the Mishnah is where the 2 half kizesim are attached by a very thin strand of meat. So that Enachinami, even if the hide were to be removed, what would happen? If you were to lift up 1 half kizais, what would happen? The other one would go with it. Tashma, Mod Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva agrees. Bishnei chatzai zeisim shetach van bikisim ve'sitein shu tamei. Remember again, what did the Mishnah say? Even Rabbi Akiva agrees that if you take 2 half kizaisim of meat, put a toothpick in it. Rabbi Akiva holds that if you lift up the toothpick, that you're chayiv tumas masa, but it doesn't conform to the drasha. V'hai lov nisahu. But Rabbi said, that's not the nisa, that doesn't meet the nisa no say criteria. What's the nisa no say criteria, Bosai? That Allah Kalamais, you should be able to pick up the piece of meat, and it should be able to be picked up in one unit. That doesn't apply. Yet Rabbi Akiva holds your tummy tumas masa here. Hachinami bimerudad. Rabbi say, what's the case? In Hachinami, there's a small strand of meat that attaches the 2 kizesim. So that even in the absence of the toothpick, so the toothpick allows you to pick them up easier, but even in the absence of the toothpick, if you were to pick up 1 half of kizais, what would happen? What would happen? The other half of kizais would go with it. So which Gemara says, Kitanoi. In reality, this is a machlokis tanoim. Echot hanogeh ve'echot hamesit. Whether you touch it or whether you move it, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer af hanosei, even if you carry it. So the Gemara says, "Atu no se lav mesitu." I don't understand. Is carrying not a form of mesit? Elav hachi kamar. This is what it means to say, "Echad hanogea ve'echad hamesit bali below nisa." Rather, I will say the first opinion is saying that whether you touch the 2 half kizesim, right, or whether you go ahead and you move it, even if it doesn't satisfy the nisa criteria, i.e., it's not attached. Va'aser belazer lemeimar v'hu denisa umay af. So we'll say, what do you begin to see? You begin to see that halacha lemaisa, this is indeed a machlokes tanoim. The rabbis say, in the case, ultimately, again, the no say nisa criteria is a machlokes tanoim. In order to ultimately become tamei through tumas masa, do we say that the two half kizesim, half, it's enough for them to be attached by the toothpick, or do they have to be attached by the strand of meat? That is a fundamental machlokes tanoim. So for our purposes, the way we close out the sugya, just to close out the Mishnah, is Rabbi say we paskin ultimately again in case number one of the Mishnah that if there is a kizayis of basar on the flesh, on the hide, you could contract tuma from that kizayis of basar, whether you touch a strand from the basar or you touch a hair from the opposite side. But that is only in which case, not in the case of a hide that is being flayed, but rather only in which case where the animal was bitten by another animal. That's case one. Case number two, Rabbi Osei, how do we paskin in the case of the two-half kizesim on the hide? We paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Two-half kizesim on a hide, ultimately, again, are bottle to the hide. And therefore, again, if you touch them, you are not tamei tumas maga, nor are you tamei tumas masa. But Rabbi Osei, we do paskin like Rabbi Akiva in the last case, which is if you have two-half kizesim not attached to the hide, but that are attached by a toothpick, and you lift up the toothpick, what is the halacha? The halacha is that you are tamei tumas masa. Ultimately, again, because the toothpick ultimately goes ahead and attaches the two afkizesim, and you will be chayiv tumas masa. Rabbi say, ultimately, what it also tells us is, we do not accept the nosei nisa, at least the Rambam doesn't accept, the nosei nisa drasha. That ultimately, again, in our case of the two pieces of nevela being attached by the toothpick, they need not be attached by the thin strand of meat. Even if they're not attached by a thin strand of meat, all they're attached by is the toothpick. Halach l'maisa, the toothpick makes them into one cohesive unit, and if you lift them up, and therefore you're lifting up two afkizesim simultaneously, you will in fact be tamei tumas masa. But say, let's stop over, pick up with the Mishnah, Mi'ez HaShem tomorrow.